When music historians assemble their lists of the most influential rock and roll musicians, a few common names pop up. Bob Dylan, Elvis Presley, John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Those with a keen ear for detail add J.J. Cale. His early recordings directly influenced Southern rockers Lynyrd Skynyrd and the Allman Brothers Band, as well as British guitar icons Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits and Eric Clapton, who transformed Cale's After Midnight into a smash hit in 1970.
After midnight, we're gonna let it all hang out. After midnight, we're gonna chill and shine.
J.J. Cale has recorded off and on since the mid-1960s. His latest release, To Tulsa and Back, is his first collection of new songs in 8 years. Cale's recently been living in Southern California. This record is his return to the Tulsa music scene, where he got his start. He says at this stage of his career, the idea of jamming with old friends was too tempting to pass up.
A friend of mine named Dave Teagarden has a studio there, and I said, well, why don't you call all the guys that are still alive that we used to play with when we were all young fellas, and I'll make another record. So he hustled up all my hometown friends that are still around and still playing music, and he had the studio, and we all got together and ate barbecue and played music and other things, and when we got all through, we had a record.
Yeah. Who was the youngest guy in the studio?
Probably Christine Lakeland, and she's not from Oklahoma, but she's been playing with me off and on for, we're not going to mention how many years, or at least that's what she tells me, and she was probably the youngest one there. Everybody else was over 60.
Wow, that's a pretty good jam for you old.
Yeah, it's quite a, you know, bunch of old men sitting around reliving their youth there, and that's what the record's kind of about.
She's on the rounds, that's what they say. I heard the news only yesterday. She's on the prowl like a Siamese cat. I hope I'm aware of that. She got a lover. It's a guarantee that her new lover. It ain't me.
Eastern Oklahoma's on more blues and jazz influence. It's mainly Western swing music, and it's kind of trade-off between, you know, Glenn Miller and cowboy music. People like to dance there. So that's what I heard when I was real young in the 40s. And in the 50s, I was a teenager and rock and roll come along, and that was, I went, hey, that's my music, Elvis Presley, Little Richard, Chuck Berry, Fats Domino. And those guys probably, you know, I've been sticking to that vein, even though my music doesn't sound like that.
Whose music is influencing you today? I mean, any of the music that's being written or performed now?
No, I try to steal a little bit from everybody, you know, you know, and I'll hear something, you know, I'll hear a rap record I really like, you know, and I'll go, wow, that bass drum really has a nice tone to it, and I'll try to put the tone off of, say, Juvenile's record or Tupac record or something. I take it in little sections because I am an engineer, and maybe I'll hear a country song, and I'll go, oh, I like the way the voice sounds on that, and I'll try to emulate that.
Now it seems to be. The high top cat running your life makes a problem, isn't me and you.
Is it my imagination or are those vocals mixed kind of low?
Yeah, I've always, my main critics, and I have a lot of them, they always, a lot of people want to hear what you have to say real loud. I'm not a very good singer, and that was because I was always embarrassed about my singing. So I'd mix my words down. I got a lot of complaints from that. I'd even get complaints from the producer. Well, mix your voice up. And I go, no, it's hideous. Mix it down. It'll sound all right.
Born in a time that has gone by. The old tell the young what to do. Have you heard?
You mentioned that you have quite a few critics.
Yeah.
Some of them have suggested you're kind of real stubborn about your writing, your style kind of doesn't really change from one album
that's,
to the next?
That's the main thing. When I made the first album, naturally, that was probably my most popular album. And then all the rest of the albums I made, they said, well, that's great, but he's not doing anything new. Which, in the commercial record business, you're supposed to keep changing, you know, and mystifying and surprising your audience. I never tried to do that. I did try to do that, but I'm not any good at it, so I just kind of do what I know. The nice thing about that is there's 400 million other records out there they can also get, but I agree with my critics that most of my albums have a sameness to them, but that's, you know, that's me.
Stone River.
What's the story behind Stone River? This is a protest song.
Right. That song probably wouldn't be popular on the eastern part of the United States because there's plenty of water. But out here in California, Nevada, the western part of the United States, we have a water crisis out here, and it's going to get worse and worse, especially as folks in Southern California. We have so much population out here that we have a water shortage, and it's kind of in that vein, you know. And when they do build dams, they destroy the environment. We have to, you know, I think we still ought to build dams, whatever, but we ought to figure out some way with all our technical knowledge to advance that dams and those kind of things and rerouting rivers and all that stuff to where it benefits the environment and benefits us too. That's something that the smart people need to figure out.
Ain't no vegetation, it's just an agitation that don't seem
Is it true that you didn't even know After Midnight, Eric Clapton's version was a hit until you heard it on your car radio?
A friend of mine had called me, Bobby Keys, he plays with the Rolling Stones now, he's a saxophone player, had called me. He was on the original session. There was a bunch of people on the original session of After Midnight. I guess they played him my demo or my record. Bobby Keys called me and he said, Eric Clapton's cut your song After Midnight. And I said, yeah, sure. You know, I think I was half asleep that day. And later on, I heard it on the radio. And I almost drove off the road. I went, oh, boy, I can go buy me a new car now, or, you know. Get one with a solid paint job or something.
After midnight, soak up the peaches and cream. Don't cross talk and suspicion. We don't give an exhibition. We don't find out what it is all about.
There's a list that I found on your website of songs of yours that have been covered by other people, and it's 3 pages long. Eric Clapton is someone who has been a big supporter of yours. What's it like for you? I mean, do you feel sometimes your association with him and his association with your songs kind of blurs your own accomplishments sometimes?
Oh, no. Eric Clapton's one of the best guitar players to come along in the last 50 years or so, you know, and he's very different. He listened to a lot of American artists, and Clapton took and made, and he did the same thing the Rolling Stones did. He made American music, which was Americans wouldn't buy. They wouldn't buy the old blues records and stuff. They want something a little more commercial. Eric took that and without losing the thought and the soul of the music, was able to take those recordings and make those a little more commercial. I never could do that, and I really appreciated that.
So now you've got 13 new songs that you can
offer
people.
Yeah, that's a lot. They're all out there for anybody to record. That's why I write them.
Thinking we were all together.
J.J. Cale's new CD is called To Tulsa and Back. He spoke to us from member station KQED in San Francisco. To hear a few more of his songs, his new songs, visit our website, npr.org. This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Ned Wharton, edited today by Jeffrey Katz, with production help from Phil Harrell, Elaine Heinzman, Danielle Ivory, David Rector, and Lauren Spohr. Stu Seidel is the senior editor. The senior producer is Robert Molesky. Our technical director is Burke Hun, with audio engineers Ted Mebane and Mitch Eaton. Key Molesky is our reference librarian. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, with additional music from Steph Scajari and Greg Smith. I'm Leanne Hansen.
By and from now on, time will shift and we'll be gone. It don't matter anyway, another song, another day.